Hey y'all, let's take a look today at Luke chapter 19. This is right before the triumphal entry and immediately after Jesus attending or staying the night at Zacchaeus' house. So this is verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept and laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. So again, remember that Luke chapter 19 is the culmination of Jesus' long journey toward Jerusalem. He has been making his way. He set his face all the way back in Luke 9. And all along the way, he's been moving toward Jerusalem, and all the conversations have escalated around people's response to him. And this last parable, and this is the last parable in the Gospel of Luke, is the culminating parable illustrating that tension. And all the parables have applicability widely, but it's important to look in the immediate context for the applicability first. And the immediate applicability of this parable is Jerusalem of the time, and the destruction that it speaks of is the destruction of 70 AD because they did not know the time of their visitation. They did not respond to Jesus and his coming. Remember, too, in the prior scene, Jesus has done an impossible thing, or an impossible thing has happened. A rich tax collector who is corrupt has entered the kingdom of heaven by producing the fruit of repentance. By restoring things that he's defrauded from others. So the kingdom is coming. A rich man has entered it, but those for whom it was intended are resisting it. And that is, again, what this parable is all about. All the parables, I would suggest, have in common this theme of a master settling accounts with his servants, of demanding of them a charge. And again, I think we need to read this in that context. So first, a nobleman goes into a far country. At that very time, I think Jesus is using an event of the time. The son of Herod, the former ruler of Judea, had actually gone to Rome to try to secure the kingdom of Judea for himself and then return. Actually, a delegation came from Jerusalem and told Caesar, we don't want this man to rule over us. And so as a consequence, he was given a smaller kingdom. And when he returned, he eventually killed 3,000 Jews who opposed him. So Jesus is using an event from current events to underline what he's trying to teach. But again, it is ultimately not about the rule of Rome, but about the rule of Jesus. And of course, Rome simply becomes an instrument in God's hands for bringing judgment on the leadership of Jerusalem that would not receive him. And of course, the parable, while it's similar to the parable of the talents, minas in this case are a smaller amount. There's some different emphases, but of course the focus is on the one servant who doesn't do anything with what's been given to him. And I think the important thing to underline here is he has misjudged the master. He has not understood him. Much like the older brother in the tale of the prodigal, he did not get his master's heart, or his father's heart. He did not understand what was important to him. And so he was outside. He exiled himself from the celebration. He could not understand his father's heart. And the master's response to the servant is to treat him as the servant misread him as being. Oh, you think I'm harsh? I reap where I don't sow. Why didn't you then simply invest the money? And I would have at least gotten interest. So in the Psalms, it says, to the pure you show yourself pure, to the crooked you show yourself crooked. He responds to this servant in the way that the servant misjudges him. He treats him in that way. And the scripture says that that's what God does as well. So as a consequence of doing nothing with what's been given to him, he has nothing. And instead, and this is the remarkable thing, what he has is given not to the man with five, but to the man with 10. So that the one who has more is given. I think in our current sensibility of fairness, this is entirely unfair. But I think in the logic of the parable, that servant has done a lot with what God has given him, and so, or what the master has given him. So the master is going to give him more because he wants him to continue to do more with what's been given to him. So again, fairness, according to our immediate reaction, is not in view here. And then finally, notice, and this is the ominous and the culminating moment, he says, as for those rebels who didn't want me as their master, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Again, this is ultimately about the destruction of Jerusalem. We need to read everything that's going to happen from Luke 9 until the end of the gospel, or at least until Jesus' crucifixion, in light of all this. All the parables are describing this moment when the master has returned to his house, the vine owner has returned to his vineyard, the manager is returning to settle accounts with his servants, and they don't receive him, and they cast him out, and therefore judgment is brought upon them. So the question ultimately is, what will the stewards, those in leadership in Jerusalem, do with the stewardship that has been given to them? Will they be faithful? And if they haven't been faithful, will they repent and begin to produce works, or will judgment come upon him? So that's the question in this parable, and it applies directly to Jerusalem. But of course, it applies to us. And the question is, what do we do with the resources that God has given us to invest in his people, to invest in helping his people thrive and come to know him? May we be faithful stewards, and may we be found faithful upon his returning. Amen.